Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's end of season sale is here and you can shop it from your couch. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair, like up to 50% off outdoor furniture and decor, and up to 70% off area rugs, plus amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on Wayfair home finds in every style. And get it all with fast shipping on everything right to your door. From furniture to faucets, this is your last chance of the season to score huge deals at Wayfair. Don't let the final days of summer pass you by without shopping these end-of-season savings. So don't wait. Like summer, these savings won't last. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off everything home. Celebrate your holiday weekend with can't-miss savings before they run out. Shop Wayfair's Labor Day clearance now through September 2nd at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine conflict. Middle East war. I welcome Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, writing and defining ideas about the idea of de-escalating either the war in Gaza and Lebanon and Yemen and Iraq, also the war in Ukraine, de-escalating, and will it bring a successful outcome in history? Richard, a very good evening to you. De-escalation now must deal with, since you posted this at Defining Ideas, the KIA of a man named Sinwar dying in an abandoned, wrecked building by himself, and the end of his brutality towards the people of Gaza, towards Israel, and towards the world. Does this, at your point, at your measure, permit de-escalation of the Hamas conflict? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good. First of all, I don't like the word de-escalation, even though I use it, because that's the current argot. But the other more fashionable word is probably appeasement. And the theory is that if you basically make certain concessions to the other guy, what they will do is respond in a kind and responsive way. And so slowly you move to peace. And ordinary business negotiations often take place like that because the people actually see a deal in which they could both get mutual gain. But Hamas well understands that the Israeli objective is their annihilation. Israel well understands that the Hamas island nation objective is Israeli destruction and the removal of all its people. There's just no point in the middle that makes any sense. And so what you have to do is you have to push as hard as you can. The Biden administration is intent upon seeking a negotiation for a ceasefire, seemingly indifferent as to what those particular terms are going to be. And every time it starts to demand that the Israelis make a concession, what Sinwar said when he was alive is, I've got another game. Let's move those goalposts further back. And we will see that the Biden administration will not ask a single thing of us, including, for example, allowing the convoys to go through with food for the ordinary civilian proposition. So we're winning this particular war by going that way. Netanyahu now has refused to accept this particular model. And that's true in Lebanon, and it's true here. And his attitude is, we will get a ceasefire on favorable terms only if we make it to the point where they break. And so if you were to ask what the ceasefire would have looked like in Hamas, if Sinwar were there and Biden had his way, it would not be a situation in which he and his organization was removed from power. What would happen is they would continue to run some kind of rogue government. A useless UN a set of troops would come in there in order to keep order. There would be a swap of criminals on the one hand for hostages on the other. And there would be the chance for the thing being renewed, because if you remember, there was a ceasefire agreement on October 6th, 2023, and that was broken at will. Netanyahu has a very different set of objectives. And now that he's gotten Sinwar, he's basically stated what his terms are. First of all, you lay down your arms, and we will return you to the civil population. And then, in effect, all the leaders will be killed if we do them. You don't do that, we'll do that. And you're going to release all the hostages, and we're not going to release any of the prisoners who have been convicted and who now sit in Israeli jail. At that point, the issue is going to turn to who takes over with respect to Gaza. The president and his staff have some gauzy idea that there's a cadre of moderate Palestinians out there without knowing who they are, who can run this thing, and that the Israelis have to pull out of Gaza. Not a chance. What they're going to say is, we're quite happy to have basically Palestinian groups have local police functions, but we're going to make sure that nothing gets through at the Philadelphia corridor. We're going to make sure that nothing comes in by way of sea, and we're going to take out any relentless force, anybody in there who starts to give armed resistance. If you can police that under these circumstances, by all means do so. If not, then we're going to have to take this thing over. And it is ironic but sad to remember that the greatest period of prosperity for Gaza was when it was under Israeli rule. And that's because they closed down the tunnel and they let ordinary Arab commerce flourish. So I think he's going to push a very hard game. And what's going to happen now is Biden will come back, think about what's going on in Michigan or whatever it is that bothers him. And he's going to try to resist all that stuff. And the Israelis are going to say, we're just marching on. They have to ignore him. And at this particular point, they're strong enough that they can make it good. They're going to have to ignore him when it comes to much of what went on in Lebanon. The only area in which he will have some sway and already has is, we're going to defend you against the Iranian missiles. Please don't take out the oil fields or the nuclear plants. And the Israelis will live with that, at least in the short term, I think, finding some other juicy targets that they could take down. But it's not a question of whether or not there should be a ceasefire. Everybody wants a ceasefire. The question is, what are the terms on which they're going to be? And with the death of Sinwar and the decimation of the Hamas forces, they're going to be very different from the kinds of terms that Biden thought would be possible, namely to allow some version of Hamas state to exist after the Israelis withdraw from the situation. That's just not going to happen. This is going to look more like 2000 than like 2023, because the Israelis have realized they made one slip and they nearly paid for it with the loss of their nation, and they're not going to make the same kind of mistake twice. Remember, the guy who was the architect of the appeasement strategy in 2023 was none other than Netanyahu himself, who thought that if there were a large number of border movements of people working in Israel, getting Israeli wages coming from Palestine, giving hospitalization and various kinds of medical assistance, that Sinwar would never want to disrupt that by having a war. And it turns out that was wrong. And now they're never going to make that mistake again. And so what's going to happen is they're going to sit on both sides of the table, and they're not going to let Biden horn his way in with his administration of defeatism, confusion, and uncertainty about what is
going to
happen.
Let's turn to Ukraine, Richard, because the president has traveled to Europe to meet with several leaders in the NATO alliance. I believe Mr. Macron, Mr. Starmer, I believe Mr. Schultz will be there, notably not Ms. Maloney. In any event, the idea there is to hear out the victory plan presented by Mr. Zelensky. You write, however, that Mr. Biden has consistently asked for de-escalation of that conflict as well, a ceasefire. He's asking Russia for a ceasefire. Although now and again, there's some paradox here, because he also says, as long as it takes, that would be an endorsing the war fighting by Mr. Zelensky. What is the wider war that Mr. Biden fears in Europe that he needs de-escalation?
Well, what he fears is if the Ukrainians attack any sources of bases on Russia, the Russians will get angry. When they start to get angry, they will turn not only against Herson, against Ukraine, they'll also turn against Poland and the Baltic states, and will try to create a wider war. One of the sort of sordid elements of this particular case is that in a war of attrition, it's clear that the Russians are bleeding more troops than the Ukrainians, which makes it much more difficult for them to mount the second front. But it's also increasingly clear this war is not only against the Russians, it's against the Russians, the North Koreans, the Chinese, and the Iranians, all of whom performing backdoor functions, including training troops and giving intelligence, weaponry, and everything else that you could possibly have. And so what you have to do is to go after the Russians and say that you're going to pay a higher price. And when you have a plan which says you can't bomb anything inside of Russia, you can't shoot down the people who are shooting you, and what the Russians do is they store their armaments and their weapons in unguarded sites open to the air for an attack, because they said, I've got a guarantee from Mr. Biden that this stuff isn't going to be shot down. Well, Biden can't enforce that, because Ukraine now realizes it's a life or death matter. They can't stop a superior Russian force armed to the teeth with the limited facilities they have. What they have to do is they have to take out their forces. They have to bomb the ammunition dumps. They have to bomb the planes and the factories and everything else that's involved in the war effort. So if you're doing something in Russia that's aimed at us, we're going to treat you as fair game. And what's happening, my guess is, I don't know where they get their sources and supply, but there are a large number of nations on the border of Russia and Eastern Europe who understand what's going on there. And the Czechs are excellent arms manufacturers. It turns out the Bulgarians seem to know something about this stuff as well. So what they're going to do is they're going to fight the Russian war with material that's been supplied by people other than the United States. And it turns out Biden has at least enough sense. He doesn't have much. He says, I'm not going to cut off the aid if you use other weaponry to attack Russia. You just can't use ours. Now, if our weaponry is better and cheaper than theirs, this is a real cost. But he is so anxious on this that what he does is he prolongs the war. The moment you prolong the war, you create greater domestic distress in the Ukraine. Political divisions will start to emerge. Draft dodging will become a national habit if this thing goes on far enough. What they'll have to do, if you're on their side, you've got to win, and you've got to win quickly. And you can't fight this war with a hand behind your back. One good sign was that evidently the United States started bombing the Houthis. It's too little too late. And my judgment is, you know what they have. What you do is you just simply land a force and take over their bases and drive them out and let this traffic come back to the situation. He is a man who really thinks that if you have an imbalanced war, it's going to be an escalated war. The truth of the matter is, if you degrade the facilities of your opposition, that's going to lead to de-escalation, because it won't be a matter of intention anymore. It will be a matter of a massive inability to get the job done. And that's what he has to see. But he is a total muddlehead on this issue. And sure enough, he's coming out talking about ceasefire again in Gaza without having any idea what terms he wants. And he's not going to get to dictate it anymore. Anybody in either the Ukraine or in Israel will have had it with his particular kinds of politics. As I said, Netanyahu tried to be nice with Hamas, and it's all what it got him. He needs to basically wipe them out in order to protect his own country. He has to reclaim the northern border, even if it means going from house to house in southern Lebanon. And they may well have to bomb the cities if that's where they concentrate. I don't think there's any other answer to this solution. You have to win by power before you negotiate.
The end of the Biden administration, we turn momentarily to the campaign of the vice president. Richard Epstein at the Hoover Institution, writing at Defining Ideas about de-escalating not working for the war in the Middle East and the war in Ukraine. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.